Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I thought it'd be fun for the two of us to hop on the microphone and just kind of talk through the massive, massive, you know, series that Committed became. I don't think we ever could have imagined in the beginning that we would have done this many episodes. Do you actually know how many episodes we did? Because I don't know.
I calculated it out. It's somewhere around 130.
130. Okay. That's not nothing.
No, that's a lot.
That's not nothing, my friend. And for people who don't know you, longtime fans know that Ramsey has been our producer since the early days of Committed. But Ramsey, introduce yourself to everybody.
My name is Ramsey Unt. I am a supervising producer for iHeart Podcasts, and I have been the producer for Committed since the beginning.
Since the beginning.
And I pulled up our first episode aired on June 6th of 2018.
Okay. So just over 4 years.
Yeah.
But we started making the show almost a year in advance. So
correct.
We've been working together for about 5 years now.
Correct.
So do you, in all of that time, should we maybe tell the audience the episodes I asked for in the beginning? What did I tell you that I wanted in terms of married couple stories?
You told me you wanted prison, a couple that was married or has been married during prison. Mm-hmm. You said you wanted a porn couple. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I wanted prison. I wanted porn. But I have to say, our episode that we did with two married porn stars was one of the greatest episodes that we made. It was beautiful. It was heart-wrenching sometimes. It was so sad for reasons that had nothing to do with the pornography industry, but because they were struggling with starting a family and then struggling with how to have children and explain to them what they had been doing for careers for the past 10, 20 years. And I loved this couple so much. And we actually got to go into their homes. This was pre-COVID. So we got to do the interview in their house. And I think, can we play a clip of them?
Sure. But before, it was one of my favorites too. I mean, the fact that, you know, I was trying to think of what were my favorites, and I knew we were both going to say porn. But I think the name of the title was I Don't Own Him.
I Don't Own Him. Mm-hmm.
It was Mick Blue and Annika Albright.
Yeah.
And the fact, I think when you were standing in front of their porn trophy room.
I was. Room. I walked into their house, and they had a trophy case filled with like little gold people and essentially the Oscars of porn. They were the Meryl Streeps of the porn industry. And they were also raising baby chickens from hatchlings, from eggs in their bathroom, in their house. And it was the just exact opposite of what you would expect to walk into when you walked into a porn star's house. I mean, except for the Oscars of porn. But the baby chickens all over the place and just an adorable little like tchotchkes from Etsy talking about blessing this home. It was just, it was awesome. It was so great. Yeah, I want to play a little clip from Mick and Annika because we're also still, I'm still Instagram friends with Mick and Annika. I think that we've stayed social media friends with almost everyone that we've had on Committed. All right, let's play a little clip. Let's play a little clip of them.
Sure.
And so do you guys do a lot of work together?
Yes.
Yes.
And do you think that's some of your best work?
Absolutely. You know, Mick is my favorite performer to work with because we do know everything about each other and you know, our buttons, and we have great chemistry. So I think it's natural that our scenes with each other are going to be our best scenes.
And it also shows, coming back to their words, it shows that other people see it the same way because many of our awards from, for example, the porn Oscars or other institutions were actually for scenes or movies that we have done together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have to say they're one of my favorite couples, mm-hmm. but our first episode, which I don't even know if I want to play a clip of because I think that I sound so terrible in the entire first season and I'm vain. And our first episode, the couple that was blown up together in the Boston Marathon bombing, I didn't even know if I could keep doing this show after that.
Yeah.
Because their story was so hard to report. And I'm going to let you pick out the part of that to play because, like I said, I can't listen to it because I can't hear my voice. And I don't know if I can hear their story again because it's so heartbreaking. But I feel like it set the tone for what we wanted to do with Committed for the next so many, 8 seasons. But did we end on 8 or 9 mm-hmm. seasons?
8 seasons.
8 seasons.
Yeah. For me, editing that episode, because that was the first one we did, and that was kind of our, I guess, quote-unquote pilot that we pushed around the office quite a bit. So I listened to their story probably for a good solid 2 months almost, just to get it down right. And going back and even thinking about it is somewhat, not necessarily overly triggering, but slightly triggering, where I start to feel the anxiety from it. And I mean, you know, as what these people have gone through, not just their episode, but, you know, all these episodes, I feel like I've learned so much about them and then just experiencing what they went through in a way where it was hard. It was hard to edit. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
How often do you cry?
This season I've cried maybe 2 or 3 times, and that is generally, like, the first season I think I cried in every episode.
I think I cried in every episode in the first season too.
And it just kind of started to whittle down. I guess I just became, you know, a little bit hardened in what some of our couples have been through, mm-hmm. just in, you know, and all that. But, I mean, a cat compassionate goodbye, like, from this episode, this season, mm-hmm. where the like that one really hit hard.
Yeah, that was the one with Amy Bloom, and she's a writer, she's an author, and her husband was going through the early symptoms of a dementing disease, and he didn't want to die like that, and she helped him find a way to go abroad to give him a good death, to give him, as she says, and as we titled the episode, a compassionate goodbye. Let's play a little bit of Amy, because that episode is so beautiful. But yeah, I lost it. I lost it on that. what did he want a good death to look like? And I think that's something that we don't talk about nearly enough in our culture. Like, what should a good death look like?
I think that depends entirely on the person experiencing it. For him, he wanted it to be peaceful and painless, and he wanted me by his side.
Okay, but now that we're crying, I'm not crying, you're crying. You're not crying, I'm crying. What episode made you laugh so hard you peed your pants?
Jeez. The man under the bush?
Oh my God, the man under the bush! The man under the bush. You know what? I need to do a quick Google, because the man under the bush. This is the story of a woman who, named Emmy, who fell in love with a homeless man who was literally living under a bush, and they went through it. He was still homeless. They were dating, and then he eventually moved in with her, and he hadn't been living in a house in years, and they figured it out, and they got married, and they had babies. But he was so funny.
Yeah.
He cracked me up. But I'm Googling it now, because she was writing a screenplay for their love story, and I want to see if it ever got made.
That was one of the fun ones for me. I mean, just because his whole attitude and his outlook on life and everything else, and I mean, where he's been and what he went through, and, you know, hopefully they're still doing great when we talk to them.
I'm going to email Emmy right now and ask her if we can see their romantic comedy on the screen at some point, because, yeah. All right, I want to play a little bit of Emmy and Vic. Also, I had forgotten until I just Googled Emmy and Vic. Like, Vic was really hot. He was a hot homeless guy living under a bush. He really was. He really was. I mean, and she's beautiful, but, like, you know, if you're going to fall in love with the man who lives in the bush, it helps when he's very handsome, I think. All right, let's play. Oh my gosh, and I'm looking at their adorable twins too. Okay, let's play a little bit of Emmy and Vic.
One night, she was sitting in Vondel Park waiting to meet a friend for dinner.
As usual, I was early and somebody sat down next to me. And even before I had looked at him, I kind of felt this electricity and energy between us. And then suddenly he asked me what time it was, which I thought was a very silly question and an obvious pickup line, because right in front of us was a clock. So I know that Vic and I met at 10 to 7 on Sunday, the 24th of September, 2006.
She was super hot just sitting there. And only a fool would not go and approach a beautiful woman who's sitting on a bench looking happy. Like, she didn't look uncomfortable or anything. I knew she was waiting for somebody, so I had to move in quick.
All right, yeah. I have to say, the episode that made me laugh out loud, that made me pee my pants a little bit, was when we interviewed Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally. Oh,
that was a fun one.
That was a really fun one, right?
Yeah, it was a good mid-pandemic interview. I mean, spending an hour with those two was a wonderful day, and all the other stuff that was happening in our lives. So it was great to just hear them talk. And
I totally forgot that was mid-pandemic, because time, you know, has no meaning at this point. But yeah, they were really a bright spot in my pandemic days. And just hearing them, I really liked Megan talking a little bit about how she was kind of a cougar and she wasn't expecting anything from her relationship with Nick. And he was all in. He was there for it. So I wanna play a little bit of them.
Megan said, let's make a 2-week rule. Let's never take a job or get in a situation that will keep us apart for more than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I said, put her there, let's shake on it.
Yeah.
And we have done that. I mean, really, that's the bottom line, is we make our marriage a priority over our careers. So if we get a wonderful opportunity in Australia or England or wherever, we say, okay, I have this offer. You know, Megan gets offered a Broadway show. It's very exciting, but part of the negotiation is she has to say, okay, I've been offered Young Frankenstein on Broadway. Can we move to New York for a year.
Yeah, and like the last time I did a Broadway show was in 2014, and it was a play, and Nick had a book deal, and so he's like, great, I'll come to New York and I'll write my book. I mean, it's not always that easy to work out, but that was a pretty good one. But that, making that, having that room, I mean, liking each other is one thing, but that's kind of amorphous. But in terms of like nuts and bolts things, that has been the single most important thing that we have done.
Yeah, easy.
That and joining that sex club.
Yeah, top two.
Now I'm scrolling through our episodes. Amanda Klutz and Nick Cordero story. Nick was the Broadway star who went into the ICU with COVID. He was only 41, and they mm-hmm. thought he'd be out of the hospital in a week or two. And the world rallied around Nick, and then Amanda lost him. He was one of the most high-profile COVID deaths in the news. And Amanda's story, they had a little baby. And we don't usually just have one part of a couple uncommitted, but Amanda's story really made me bawl.
Yeah. I mean, I think we were just about to get vaccinated at that time when that mm-hmm. came out, but mm-hmm. that one hit really hard. Because I think one thing that really hit me on that one was like, he just went in, he thought he had a common cold or mm-hmm. something like that, and really didn't know what COVID was about. And he went in the hospital, and that was the last time he ever saw Amanda in the flesh, was him leaving to go into the hospital.
Yeah.
That just really hit, because obviously we were all living through all that, mm-hmm. not knowing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I want to play a little bit about what Amanda said about her last goodbye with Nick.
He was clearly sick. You know, he clearly had something. We thought pneumonia. And he was leaving me as the sole parent of our son. So he couldn't hug me. He couldn't kiss me. We didn't. He didn't hug or kiss Ovis. I don't even remember what we said, to be honest. I know I said, you know, I'll drive around, or I'll go for a walk with Ovis. I'll be in the neighborhood. Call me when you're done. I thought it was going to be an hour or two and he would be out of the ER with new meds. No way did I think it would be, they're keeping me overnight. No way did I think it would go the way it did. It was very, unfortunately, in a way, cold, I guess you could say.
Amanda writes in her book, he was never the same again. He woke up, but Nick never really came back.
I have one for you.
Oh, you do? Okay. Am I? Yep. Yeah. All right. Tell me.
So what episode have you talked to Nick about, your husband, Nick?
Oh, my husband, Nick? Which one do I talk about?
That, hey, you know what we should do in our relationship?
Oh, gosh. Oh.
Is there one like that?
All of them. I mean, honestly, all of them. I have. And I say this all the time in our trailers and our promos, and people are sick of hearing it, but I think making committed has been better for my marriage than going to therapy, because every episode brings something up where I have a new way to talk about our marriage and to talk about the things that are percolating in our marriage without talking about us in particular. And so we've talked about almost every single episode, but I'm trying to think of the one that comes up a lot for the two of us. I will say that we talk about Emma Straub and her husband Mike a lot, the couple that opened the bookstore Books Are Magic in Brooklyn, mostly because Nick and I want to open a bookstore, and yet we also realize that it's really hard. And especially on a marriage. And so every time I'm like, oh my gosh, it's time, let's open our bookstore, Nick makes me re-listen to the episode All Adults Here with Emma and Mike, and just talking about the very real messiness of launching a business with your husband. And it's every time I listen to it, I still want to open the bookstore. So but it is a good reminder that it is not all magic. Not all.
No.
No. We should. Yeah. Let's play a little bit of that.
Emma bet me that she was going to break up with me in 3 months.
I think I said six.
Did you say six?
I think I said six.
And I was like, I'll take that bet. And here we are 16 years later.
Here they are. Emma and Mike. 16 years, two kids, and a bookstore later. Yeah, a bookstore. That's what this story is about. Every couple I know has their career escape fantasy. I have friends who daydream about buying a goat farm, even though they've never touched a goat. Seriously, I think maybe they've eaten goat cheese once, and goat farms look pretty on Instagram.
What about you? Do you and Carrie, Ramsey's wife's name is Carrie, and she's wonderful. What is that noise? That sounds like a...
That was me. I was just making like a... an audible audible sigh. Mm-hmm.
We're both still married. You and I are both still married to our respective same spouses, which we cannot say for every couple that's been uncommitted.
No, we can't. See, the thing is, Carrie does not like, she does not listen to podcasts.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So me recommending something for her to listen to would... You know, just go, you know, out one ear and out the other. Mm-hmm. And it, I'll mention episodes to her. So she'll get excited. And I'm like, she's very supportive of me working on Committed and, you know, my job and all that. But she's just like, you know, I think she listens to basketball podcasts.
Which is different than our podcast.
Which is different. Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
Except for, I told her that we interviewed Renee Montgomery and her wife, Serena Grace.
Yeah.
And she came to me the day after like it published and said, hey, I listened to Love and Basketball and I really loved it.
Oh.
So I was like, okay, she does listen.
She does listen to one episode.
Yeah, but I can't like think of anything. Like, I mean, there's so much, you know, like when you talk to a couple that's been, you know, through the thick of it or a couple that's been married for years. And, you know, you think about your own marriage. I think it just kind of gives us or gives me like confidence that, you know, I can kind of weather through if I'm having a bad day or she's having a bad day. You know, we're there kind of to support each other. So
that you can get through anything.
Pretty much
anything. I just found out that the B-52s are going on tour. And so I re-listened to our interview with Kate Pearson and her wife, Monica Coleman, who run the very hip Catskills Motel, Kate's Lazy Meadow, together, which is right down the road from me here in the Catskills. And every episode on a re-listen brings me joy. All of them, even the ones that could be kind of depressing, I still, because of exactly what you said, it's the show is proof that you can get through hard things together. And so I always end each episode, whether I'm just making it or re-listening to it, filled with happiness and joy and optimism. And yeah, I do. I love it so much.
I'm going to miss working with you.
I'm going to miss working with you, too. Well, what are we going to talk? Like, what are we going to text each other about now? Oh, by the way, I have a present coming for you, Ramsey. There's a present in the mail for you.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Get excited. I just got an email notification that it shipped. So it's on its way to you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I feel bad. I didn't get you anything
you
this season.
You have got me many a gift, many a season. I am not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it was my turn. I had to get you something. So I hope that you like it.
Yep. Well, I hope so too.
We'll just have to make another show is the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you could recommend one episode to someone, what episode would you recommend?
One episode I would recommend to someone. I mean, I always have to explain what I do, and then I have to explain what the show is. I always use the first episode as an example, just because it was such a, like what we had strived for Committed. It's just one of those things that we can, you know, really explains what the show's about. Mm-hmm. But then I always go to, you know, I Love You Buddy. You know, when we talked to her, I always, because that one, It was always the ones where we went to locations because I went down there.
Yeah. Well, explain interview. I Love You, Buddy to people who haven't listened to it.
Guy named Buddy Woodall, who's serving 3 life sentences for murder, and his wife, Christy, they've been married for probably close to 25 years now. He was convicted of killing 2 people. He still claims his innocence of the murders, and she refuses to accept his divorce from him. And I drove down to South Georgia, where she lives, and it was just a powerful experience. Like, going there, Christy and her mom basically took me in and welcomed me, and we spent the afternoon with them, and we did the interview with Buddy in prison, mainly because, like, she had a phone that she could always talk to him, but it was also, you know, it just felt like it was when we realized we can't do this weekly.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, so it was the last episode for the first season. So, I mean, we almost went a whole year doing this weekly.
Nonstop.
Yeah. And so it was like the last, it was a good way to end the first season mm-hmm. as well. But yeah, I think the whole part of it going there and being part of that experience kind of really set home. I mean, just like the porn episode and, you know, the other episodes where you would go to location. I always pushed for that. When you said, hey, I might be able to go there. Like, Do it.
Yeah. The pandemic ended that. It did.
And I was going to say, like, the you know, talking to the astronaut. And Topic.
Wait, if you do, you have to. You can't just say Topic and then not explain what Topic was. Topic.
Well, I had no idea what Topic was.
Okay.
I had to watch the movie.
Okay, we are talking about 2 married Olympic ice skaters, by the way, and we are I called it our cutting edge episode because, obviously, the cutting edge, an amazing romantic comedy starring Moira Kelly and that other guy who never made another movie. And Ramsey had never seen The Cutting Edge, which broke my heart for him. And I forced him to watch it. And it was worth it. You loved it, didn't you?
It was fun. It was a good classic 80s style movie and enjoyed it very much. And now I know what Topic, but going to see Chris and Alexa, that was a lot of fun. I feel like I could do this all day.
Let's play a little bit of Chris and Alexa having a big Olympic win. Yeah, let's play a little bit of that.
That was the kiss witnessed around the world. And I have to ask, was it planned? Was it staged? Or are you two really just that adorable?
Well, when Chris and I compete, we kiss or don't kiss. We just, whatever we feel in the moment, we'll do. So the kiss on Valentine's Day, I mean, we didn't even think it's Valentine's Day, let's kiss. I actually didn't even know, like, it was a big deal. But what was cute was that the crowd in Korea was so, like, shocked by the public display of affection. And they were, like, ooing when we kissed. So I did it. I had us do it one more time. I know that Chris and I will have a hard time topping Valentine's Day ever again because, you know, we were living our dream in that moment of being at the Olympics.
Okay, I'm going to end our stroll down memory lane with the episode that I recommend to people, Because I Love Ya, which was Levi and Jared. And Levi had been keeping his relationship with Jared a secret from his family since the beginning of their relationship. And he wanted to essentially come out to his family about his relationship with Jared on the podcast. And I was so honored and so scared for him. And that episode, they were just so raw and so brave, and the fact that he wanted to share his love story with us and our audience, like, it still gets me. I want to play a little bit of Levi.
I told myself, if I don't say the words I'm gay, then I could always, like, argue against it.
people die every day. And what if we get into a car accident? And then I have to be the one to call Mike and be like, hi, this is Jared, your son's live-in lover, and he's now passed away.
If I were to die tomorrow, would Jared, like, Jared would be like a stranger at my funeral. And like, he's the most important person in my life. And like, would he feel comfortable coming to my funeral? Would he be allowed to like mourn my death?
I want to see what those guys are doing.
I just emailed them. So,
oh, you did?
Yeah. I just emailed them. I'll update everyone on our Instagram. Our Instagram at Committed Pod is gonna keep updating. I'll keep updating it with update with new info about all of our couples. And I, you know, I don't necessarily think this is the end for Committed. I think we're just gonna take a break for a while. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot of episodes. We've done a lot of love stories, and we're still here. So if you have a love story that you want to share with us, tell us. Tell us. And we can always come out of semi-retirement to tell your love story. And I think we'll just take a pause. We'll take a pause, much like Elton John is having a very long retirement tour. I don't think Committed will ever end.
No, I mean, I don't think we can. We've every episode, I think, has never been the same as the last.
No.
And I think we could still go on for a lot longer time. But I'm looking forward to the new projects I'll be working on, and I know you are too. And this really wasn't an end. I never really saw this as an end and all that. And, you know, if you called me up the next day and say, hey, Ramsey, let's do this again, I'd be right there.
Me too. I'm here. So it's not the end, but this was a nice look back at our committed relationship together, Ramsey. Mm-hmm. A different kind of commitment.
Yep. No, totally.
So, all right. So let's say goodbye. Let's say goodbye, but not forever goodbye to the audience. And guys, stick around. Let us know what other stories you want to hear, what other podcasts you want to hear. Ramsey and I are both still with iHeart. We're both still making great shows, and we love you. We couldn't have made this show without our incredible and devoted audience who told us how much they appreciated this show and these love stories. And some people even told us it helped them not get divorced, which, you know, and some people told me it made them get divorced. And good on you. Good on you for making the decision for you. Happy to help. Happy to be here.
And Joe, I completely agree. And I just want to say, I know I told you this in text, but it's been a pleasure working with you. I'm not crying.
You're not crying. It's been wonderful working with you.
It's been wonderful working with you. This whole experience has been a life-changing experience for me. So thank you.
Thank you.
This episode was hosted and reported by Joe Piazza, with a very special thanks to you, our listeners. Committed is produced by Ramsey Yunt. The executive producers are Joe Piazza and Tyler Klang. Theme song and music by Tristan McNeil. To keep up with Joe and the Committed Podcast family, follow us on Instagram, @CommittedPod. That's @CommittedPod. Committed is a production of iHeartRadio and produced in our studios located in Atlanta, Georgia. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment,
Oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.